Amen. Great singing this morning. That was a good time. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to the book of James chapter 1. We're going to start, like yesterday, we're going to start there with one quick verse. But I'm excited this morning. We had a great day yesterday. We had a great day, a great time last night. And, it's interesting. We were going through our first section of this CrossFit program that I'm laying out for you guys. And yesterday we talked about preparation. Yesterday we talked about four key areas of preparation. Number one, we talked about nutrition, how important nutrition is. If you're going to start any kind of workout program, you've got to eat right. You've got to drink right. And for our CrossFit program, it starts right there. It starts with the Word of God. It starts with drinking that pure water of the Word of God. It starts with eating that spiritual food out of the Bible that He has for us, so we have the energy and everything that we need to be able to do this workout program and become fit for the Lord. And then we talked about how you need to find the right gym, that you need to make sure that you're in a church that has all the proper equipment, that the owner of that gym, the manager of that gym, and the people that work there have everything that they need to have to give you everything that you need, to give you the ability to get yourself into shape, to do this workout, and to become what God wants you to be. And then the third thing, we talked about a personal trainer. We said that you're going to need, as a young Christian, as just coming into this process and just starting this process, you're going to need somebody that can sit down with you and help you, that can sit down and show you the way around, so to speak. Show you how to use all the machines. Show you how everything works, so you don't hurt yourself, but that you also get the full effect of the workout. Somebody that's going to be an accountability partner for you. Somebody that's going to help encourage you through those difficult times. And then, lastly, we talked about how, I heard yesterday that there were a few of you that were asking your counselors when I started talking about infomercials. You were saying, "What's an infomercial?" And it's funny when you start to get old, like I am, you don't like realize it until you start talking about things that kids even in their like 20s are like, "What is that? Like that wasn't around when I was a kid." So infomercials are just this. It's like literally like a half hour long commercial for something. They used to play them on, I think they still do. Now there's like a channel. You can watch them all day long for people that really love it. But they play them on, on TV late at night when there's nothing else good on. But we talked about how every single workout program that you ever see any kind of commercial for, every piece of equipment, piece of home gym equipment, always at the very end says this. It says, be sure to consult your physician before starting any kind of workout program. And we talked about how important that is in a couple of areas. In the first area, that if you didn't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, you needed to be able to take care of that. You weren't going to be able to start this CrossFit program unless you dealt with that first, unless you got that new heart that you needed to get. And then if you are saved, we talked about how you might need to get with the Lord and get yourself right, get your heart back where it needed to be able to start that program. And praise the Lord, last night we had a time where just about everybody in this room did exactly that. Many of you, and you came up here this morning, many of you made that decision last night to trust the Lord as your own personal Savior. No greater decision in your life. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Why wouldn't I? It's the single most important day in my life. But I got saved just like you guys did at a camp just like this. And so it's near and dear to my heart that happened for you in the exact same setting. I still remember the message that the preacher preached the night that God finally got a hold of my heart and I came forward to get saved. I remember the title of that message. I remember what he was talking about that night all of those years ago. And so what a great night for you guys to make that decision. There's a few of you, I imagine, in a room this size that are still sitting out there that might have raised your hand last night and you didn't come forward. There's a few of you that you're still, and you know who you are. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are and God knows who you are. And you're sitting here right now and you're still thinking about it and the Holy Spirit is still working on you. And I encourage you to respond to that call. It doesn't have to be during chapel service. It doesn't have to be during an invitation. You can grab one of your counselors this afternoon. You can grab one of them right now. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if you grabbed them right now and said, "I want to go out and talk." I mean, that's more important than anything I got to say this morning. But don't get out of here this week without settling that between you and the Lord and making him your Savior. But the rest of you, the vast majority of you came forward when the invitation was given to be able to get on your knees up here and confess some things to the Lord. Maybe you had some things that were preventing you from being able to do this program, from being able to become everything God wants you to be. And so you dealt with that. And so what a perfect night as we now head into today, because the last thing I left you with yesterday was, if we don't get with God, if we don't consult with the great physician, you can't start this program. And now here we are, and almost everybody in this room did just that last night. So with that, I think I already told you to turn to James chapter 1. I didn't go there myself. Hang on one second. I'm going to read you a verse in James chapter 1 and verse 22, and it says this: "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay, so we can talk all we want, like we did yesterday, about preparation and about how important it is to get all of these things lined up before we start a program, but none of that matters unless you actually go out and do the thing. And so what we're going to talk about today, while yesterday we covered our preparation, today we're going to cover our execution. This is going to be where we execute the actual workout itself. We're going to go over and we're going to talk about how you work out your spiritual body to become CrossFit, how you do the things that you need to do, what are the areas you need to focus on so you can become everything that the Lord wants you to be. So when you go to school here in just a few weeks, you can accomplish the mission that God has for you to accomplish. When you're at your job, some of you older kids that have jobs, you can do just that. When you're with your friends, you can do everything God would have you to do. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask His blessing on our time this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for the great week we're having so far. We pray that you'll just keep your hand on this camp, Lord. Keep working on the hearts of everybody in this room, and bless our time now as we get into your word. Please give me the words to say. Let your Holy Spirit just run through this room and accomplish everything that He wants to accomplish today, Lord. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And like I said, I'm going to lay out for you a very specific program that if you can take these few things that I'm going to talk about today and you can execute them properly, you're going to become CrossFit. You are going to be what God wants you to be, what he needs you to be. Now, the thing about CrossFit as a workout program is it's a total body program, right? CrossFit is not about, you guys have all been to the, if those of you that have been to the gyms, you've seen the guys that go there and all they do is bicep curls and bench press. And they walk around, their chests are out to here and their arms are like this, but they're walking around on two little twigs like that. They look like Mr. Incredible, and they just look weird. It's just not normal, right? That's not a well-balanced workout program. That's certainly not what CrossFit is. Those guys are big and they're strong, but they can't do a heck of a lot. You ask them to go run across the field, you ask them to go run an obstacle course, they'll fall down dead or get stuck in the low crawl, and you guys will see that later today. They won't be able to get through it. And that's what a lot of Christians do. A lot of Christians will find certain areas that they kind of like, and then they'll forget about other parts that they need to be working on, and they'll just focus on the one, and they become completely out of balance. And at the end of the day, they're not able to do what God wants them to do because they don't have that full full workout that they need to have. So we're going to start off. Our first area is actually kind of where we left off yesterday, because we talked about how you need to meet with that great physician. You need to discuss your heart with him. And, you know, when we get into a CrossFit program, everything starts and ends with cardio work. And so we're going to pick up right there where we left off and talk about your heart, because it's not enough just to get saved. All right? That is the single number one most significant decision you're ever going to make in your life. And this is the most important day of your life, the day that you trust Christ as your own personal Savior. But if you stop right there and you don't do anything else and you don't continue to work out your heart and get your heart fit for the Lord, then you're just going to fall back into the world. Now, you're still going to go to heaven when you die, but you're not going to have the rewards that God wants for you to have. You're not going to be able to go in front of Him someday and hear Him say, "Well done, now good and faithful servant," because you're not going to accomplish the mission that He has for you, the reason that He saved you. You heard Bob talk about this the last two nights. God saved you for a reason. He's got something for you to do. What he has for you to do is different than the person that's sitting next to you, but it all ties together into his overall plan, and everybody has to do their part. So we start with cardio work. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." God warns us there that you need to keep your heart. Why would he tell you you need to keep your heart? The reason that you need to keep your heart is because somebody else is coming after it. The devil's going to come after it every chance that he gets. He's going to throw everything he can in your way to try to keep you from serving the Lord. And you have to do everything that you can to strengthen your heart and protect it. He says, keep it with all diligence. Diligence means that you never let go of it. You never stop doing it. You never stop paying attention to something. If you're diligent with your schoolwork, you never miss an assignment. You never have a day where you walk in and there's a test and you're not ready for it because you forgot to study. That's what being diligent is. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. You have to give everything that you can to it. Everything that we do for the Lord should come from our heart. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 says this. Ephesians 6, 6 says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So many times we get involved in doing things in ministry, doing things for the Lord, but we're not really doing it for the Lord. We say that we're doing it for the Lord, but we're really doing it because there's people around watching. We really do it because we want to impress this person, we want to impress that person. Oh, is Zach here? Oh, Zach's here. Okay, I'm going to get going. I'm going to get busy on this. I'm going to pull my Bible out and start reading it so he sees me doing that. That's what this verse is saying. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers. We cannot do the things that we do because other people around and other people are watching. This is a hallmark of Christians. A lot of Christians that I know, myself included, I'll go ahead and admit it. There's times that I do that. There's times that I do things because I think people are watching and I don't want people to have a lesser opinion of me or whatever. The only person I should ever be concerned about whose opinion that they have of me is God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got to do things from my heart. I've got to do things doing the will of God from the heart. Now, how do you do that, right? How do you get those things into your heart? Very simple. You guys know a lot of these verses. Psalms 119 verse 11 tells us to hide God's word in your heart. He says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So the way that you keep yourself out of trouble, the way you keep your heart with all diligence, is to hide God's word in there. You got to put the principles of the word of God in your heart so when you face these challenges, when you face temptation, God can remind you of a Bible principle. He can give you something that's going to protect your heart, that's going to keep your heart, that's going to keep you doing the right thing. Matthew 6:21, this is exactly what Bob was talking about last night. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." How do you keep your heart? How do you work your heart out? How do you do this spiritual cardio workout that we need to do? You make sure you put your treasure in the right place. You make sure you put the right things as your treasure, because the Bible says wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So whatever you decide is going to be the most important thing, whatever you treasure the most, if you treasure this book the most, that's where your heart's going to be. That's the only thing that you're going to care about. It's the only thing that you're going to think about. But if you treasure the things of this world, if you treasure your sports, if you treasure your friends, if you treasure whatever, fill in the blank, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, that's where your heart is going to be. And like Bob said last night, you cannot allow those things to become more important to you. You cannot allow those things to become more important than the Lord. Because our heart is easily swayed. Our heart can be very, very easily swayed, and we've got to keep it strong as best as we possibly can. And if you hide God's word in your heart, God himself is going to strengthen it. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God." So it says that he's going to establish your heart. God's going to strengthen your heart, but only if you do the work that you need to do. Only if you put the things in there, if you spend the time getting into the Bible. Why do you think that we do these memory verses every year at camp? Why do you think that we do that? Just to give you guys something to do, just to occupy your time, keep you busy, so you don't cause havoc. No, it's to teach you that process of taking a Bible verse that means something to you, that has some significance, that has some importance, and memorizing that thing, committing it to your heart. I hope you guys are doing it that way. I hope you're really working on it. Trust me, it's very tempting because I've done it myself, and I've seen it done. We do it every year, where you get that thing down, and it's everything. I just want the points, right? I'm going to do whatever I have to do to memorize that verse, and I'm going to go find one of the scorekeepers, and I'm going to say it. And as soon as I say it, I'm like, whew, I'm done. They blew the whistle. They wrote my name down. I got my points. I'm good. I can go the rest of the day and go about my business. And probably 5 minutes later, you couldn't quote it again if somebody asked you to. You know, I'm not scolding you about it. I'm just telling you that's not the idea, and that's not going to do you any good. Don't think about memorizing these verses to earn points in the moment. Think about hiding these verses in your heart. So 6 months from now, when you're facing some challenge that you weren't expecting, when something comes into your life that you didn't think was ever going to happen to you, God can call a memory verse to your mind that maybe you memorized at Old Paz Camp, and He can encourage you with that. He can help you know what to do with that. That's why you do that. That's how you get those things in there. But only until you do that can God do what He says He's going to do in 1 Thessalonians 3, where He says He's going to establish your heart. All right, so that's how you work your heart out. That's how you do the cardio work. You've got to get into that book. You've got to memorize these Bible principles, and you've got to make sure every day with all diligence that you're keeping your heart, that you're staying focused on the things of God, that you're staying focused on God's Word and on God's principles. Okay? It's up to you to keep it right. Many of you got it right last night. A lot of you got saved. A whole lot more of you got right with God last night. But now that you have it right, you've got to keep it right. You've got to work every single day. When it comes to cardio work, you can get in the best shape of your life, but if you go 1 week without doing any work, it goes so, so fast. It goes so fast. You can walk 5 miles a day for 6 months in a row, and then you sit for 5 days. The next time you go out and try to walk, or the next time you go out and try to run, it's like you've never done it before. Spiritually, it's exactly the same. Every time you stop, you have to work that much harder to get back to where you were. Just keep with it every day. That's why it says keep your heart with all diligence. It's a daily, daily process. All right, number two. We got to move along here. Second area that we want to work is our arms. All right? This is going to be your prayer life. Turn over to Exodus chapter 17. I want to share a story with you that illustrates this. And again, for some of you, this may not be a new story for you, but it's a perfect illustration of how our prayer life should work. Because if you're going to have victory in your life, you have to have a strong prayer life. You get your heart where it needs to be, but you better have a prayer life. You better have a time throughout the day that you're talking with the Lord. But if you go to Exodus chapter 17, there's a story here. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." So literally, imagine this scene. This is a great battle. Amalek is coming to attack the nation of Israel. Moses tells Joshua, the captain of the army, he says, choose out men who are going to go out there and fight. And I'm going to go up and stand on the top of the hill with the rod of the Lord, and we're going to go to battle. And the Bible says that when Moses was there, when he had his hand up in the air, that Israel would win the battle. But if he dropped his hand down, Amalek would win the battle. And that's a picture of our prayer life. That doesn't mean that when you pray, you have to put your hands up in the air, okay? It doesn't work that way. It's just a physical example in the Old Testament. But it matches up to a spiritual principle that Moses having his hand up in the air was a picture of our prayer life, us going to God with our prayers, with our supplications and saying, Lord, this is what I need help with today. This is where I'm struggling. This is where I need you today, God. This is what I need you to do for me. Not going to Him and saying, God, this is what I want from you today. This is what I need to be equipped with to be able to serve you, God. These are the areas that I need help with. Look at Philippians. Well, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It says this. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." All right, when he says, be careful for nothing, that's just an older English phrase that he does. He's not saying don't be careful about anything. He's saying don't worry about things, okay? He basically says, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, quit being so concerned about everything. Quit sitting around and fretting about everything in your life and worrying about everything in your life. Some of you struggle with that. I struggle with it sometimes, where you just worry about everything that's going on. Everything is a struggle, and you're always afraid something's going to go wrong. Something bad is going to happen. He says, stop doing that. He says, but in everything, that means everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then look at verse 7. It says, and the peace that passeth all understanding shall keep what? Your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So there we are, our prayer life. It's our arm workout is already tying back into our cardio workout here. It's already tying back in together. It says, the peace that passeth all understanding is going to keep your hearts. When does that happen? When we're constantly in prayer to God. We need to be constantly and continually in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says it very simply. It says, pray without ceasing. Three simple words. A lot of you guys are probably thinking, why couldn't that be our memory verse today? I can get that down. Pray without ceasing. One of the shortest verses in all of the Bible, yet one of the most important and one of the most powerful verses. If you could ever actually get it and you could ever actually do it, it would absolutely change your life. Okay? Now, we think about prayer. We think we have to be on our knees with our eyes closed. And certainly, there should be times in your life where you do that, where you're in a closet and it's just you and the Lord. And there's no distractions and there's nothing else going on. And you're on your hands and knees and you're taking your requests to God. But when he says pray without ceasing, he means pray without ceasing, which means that you're going to have a lot of problems if you walk around your whole life with your head bowed and your eyes closed. You're going to be running into stuff. You're going to get in car accidents. But so the point is, the principle is that you can talk to God all day long. You do not have to be on your knees with your head bowed to be able to talk to the Lord. I've been talking to him for the last 15 minutes while I'm up here talking to you guys. I'm asking him while I'm preaching, like, Lord, don't let me screw this up. Help me out. Tell me what to say here. Help me do this right. All day long, you should be in communication with God. You should be talking to him about what's happening. Because the thing is, that will help keep your heart. If you're talking to the Lord and some temptations comes across your way, you're not even going to see it. You're not even going to pay attention to it because you're in a conversation with God. You're talking to him about your day. You're asking him for help. You're talking to him about what's going on. Three very, very simple little words in one of the shortest verses in the whole Bible, yet it's one of the hardest things for us to do because we just get caught up in our own world. We just get caught up doing our own things. We get thinking about the things that we need to think about. We're worried about school. We're worried about our job. We're worried about, you know, whatever we worry about. And all God wants us to do is just talk to him. He just wants to have a conversation with us all throughout the day. Now, go back to our story in Exodus 17. I want to show you one more thing before we move along. If you look at verse 12 here, this is the problem that came up, all right? Have any of you guys ever tried to stand for even like 5 minutes with your arms up in the air? Actually, don't even answer that question. I know, like, the last two nights when you're doing sword drills and Bob says, put your arms up in the air, I watch you guys. It's like 5 seconds in, you guys are like doing this. And it's not because you're cheating. It's because your arms get tired. You can't hold your arms up for that long. And Moses couldn't do it either. And he's holding a staff up all afternoon long while Israel fights his battle. And look what happens in verse 12. It says, but Moses' hands were heavy. It got hard for him to hold his hands up. So his arms start dropping. But remember, every time his arms started dropping, Amalek started winning the battle. So what happened here? It says, and they took a stone, because remember, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill with him. It says, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So what a great picture that is. We talked about how you need to have a personal trainer yesterday, about how you need to have somebody that's going to help keep you accountable, somebody that's going to help you out. That's exactly what Moses had. Moses had two guys that went up on the hill with him that when his hands got tired and he couldn't lift them up anymore, one of them got on each side of him. They grabbed his arms and they held his arms up. When his arms were too tired to hold up himself, they held him up for him. And that's what we need in our own life. You better make sure that you've got some friends that are going to be there for you, that are going to help hold your arms up when you're too tired, when you start to struggle. And you better do the same thing for them. You better have guys in your world and ladies in your world that are praying for you and that you're praying for them too. Now let's move on to our third area. We're still working on upper body right now, and we're going to talk about our shoulders. All right, so we've covered our arms. We've covered our cardio. Now we're going to work out our shoulders, okay? If you're going to be CrossFit, you cannot ignore your shoulders.
You just can't do it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." If you're going to be spiritually CrossFit, you better have strong shoulders, because you've got to bear each other's burdens. You've got to lift each other up sometimes. There's going to be times where, going back to our last one, you might have to hold somebody else's arm up for a while and help them out while they're struggling. But the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. That's your shoulder workout right there. You are going to be constantly in your life around people that are going to need help. They're going to have struggles, and they're going to need you to help them. Do you look for those opportunities? Are your eyes always on yourself? I know my eyes, I tend to struggle. My eyes like to look at me. I don't know if you guys have that problem, but my eyes like to look at me a lot more than they like to look at other people. But if I'm going to be CrossFit, if I'm going to be the kind of Christian God wants me to be, I've got to constantly have my eyes looking at other people. Look for people that are hurting. Look for people that need help. Look for people that have a burden that's too heavy for them to carry. And let me tell you something else. Don't go up to somebody, I'm talking spiritually, I'm not talking about physically, but you can do this too. But if you see somebody carrying a burden that's too heavy for them, don't go up to them and say, "Wow, that looks heavy. Do you need help with that?" Because what are they going to say? "No, I'm fine. You don't do that. You see somebody struggling with something, go over and grab a hold of it and say, "I'm going to help you with this." Amen. That's what you got to do. Because people are going to be prideful about it. They're going to be like, "No, I'm fine. You just go up and you say, "You need help." Not that way. Like, "You need help." I say that to Josh all the time. "Josh, you need help, all right?" Not like that. It's a different kind of help. But you go up to him and you're like, "Look, I can tell you're struggling, okay? I'm here for you. I'm going to help you. Give me some of this burden. I'm going to help you carry it." That's the thing. That's what we do. Christ's entire ministry was built around looking at other people. Everywhere he went, his eyes were on other people, and he was seeing the need that they had, and then he met that need. What an amazing thing when you think about that. That was basically the central focus of his ministry, yet that's probably the biggest thing that's lacking in our lives. So we call ourselves Christians. We take his name, and we talk about, "Oh, I want to be like Jesus, I want to be like Jesus," and but it's just things that we say. Because when you look at what he actually did, that's the biggest struggle that we have. Because we don't want to look at anybody else. We just want to focus on ourselves. We just want to worry about, "I'm having a bad day today. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you because I got my own problems." I promise you, if you start looking at other people's problems, not analyzing them, but looking for people that you can help, your problems will become less of a problem for you. You know what I mean? Have you guys ever been out doing work somewhere? And it's hard work, right? I'm talking like physical labor. And you look down and your hand is bleeding. You're like, "What in the world? Where did that come from?" And all of a sudden you wipe the blood off and you see that you ripped your fingernail off or something, Then as soon as you see it, all of a sudden it starts throbbing and it's like you feel like you got your hand cut off. The point is that when you're doing the work and you get an injury, you don't feel it because you're preoccupied with the job at hand. It's not until you start to look at the injury and you're like, "Oh man," and then it really hurts, and then your focus is completely on that. Spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. If you can figure out how to keep your eyes on other people, you will not be focused on your own problems so much. Your own problems will seem a lot smaller. They won't bother you. Many times you won't even feel them anymore because your focus and your energy is all addressed and pointing at somebody else. All right, let's move on to our next one here. I got a couple more and I got to finish this up for you guys. Our next body area we got to do is our legs. All right, I talked earlier about the guys that go and all they do is they bench press and bicep curls and their legs look like this and they're basically worthless for anything other than bench press and bicep curls. But you got to get a leg workout in if you're going to be CrossFit for the Lord. You better have your legs in shape. And of course, this is going to be your personal walk with the Lord. You got to have a personal walk with the Lord. God's got some places he wants you to go. He's got some things that he wants you to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We read this verse yesterday. I'm not going to go to it again. But remember, it said, "We were saved and ordained to walk in good works." God wants you to have a walk for him. Colossians 1:10 says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." I talked about this at the very beginning yesterday about being fit to carry the cross of Christ, how it's a double meaning. One is being able to, but the other one being actually worthy to be fit to carry that cross, be worthy to carry that. He says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Your walk had better be worthy of the Lord. You better have a way that you carry yourself, a lifestyle that you live, a conversation that you have that is worthy of the Lord. And the bottom line is this, just do what's right. You guys know what's right. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You don't need to be told. You know the right things to do. You know when you face some temptation, some friend is trying to get you to do something that you absolutely know that you shouldn't do it. Have a little courage. Have a little courage to say, I ain't going there. I'm not going there with you. You're my friend and I like you, but I'm not going down that road with you. I'm not going to do that. Have a walk with God that is worthy of God. Your walk is about your personal relationship with the Lord. You know, I've heard all week. I've heard several people do this. You know, a couple people might be sitting somewhere. One of them gets up to go. They turn to their friend and they're like, "Hey, I'm going down to the gym. Walk with me. I'm going here. Walk with me. I'm going to the bath." Women do this all the time, right? There must be. Look, I don't know what is up in the women's bathroom, but it's one of two things. There's either some really cool stuff in there that we don't have, guys, or it's the scariest place that mankind has ever seen, because they will not go by themselves. They're always inviting somebody to go with them. They're not going to do it. But everywhere we go, we're like, "Hey, I'm going down here. Walk with me. Come with me." Why do we do that? Because you're my friend. I enjoy spending time with you. I want you to go with me. Let's go do this together. Let's go down to the gym and play basketball. You know, let's go over here and do this. Let's go down to the game room and play ping pong. That's all God wants out of you guys. He says, "Look, I saved you. I love you. I died for you. You're my son. You're my friend now. Like, let's go for a walk. Walk with me somewhere. Let's go. Let's talk. Remember, pray without ceasing." That's what God wants from us. He wants us to have a relationship. But here's the thing. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says something that is the reason why a lot of us don't have a walk with God. And he says this. He says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And the answer obviously is no. You can't, if your friend says, hey, walk with me. And you say, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to the gym." And you're like, "Well, I'm going to the chuck wagon." Well, that ain't going to work, right? You're going two different directions. And many times, that's how we are with God. God says, "Walk with me. I'm going this way." And you're like, "Ah, sorry, God. I'm heading this way, but I'll catch you later." You know? And that's what we do. God's all the way over here. We're all the way over here. We like to try to pretend like we have a walk with God, but we're nowhere near Him because we're not agreed. God has a certain way that He wants to do things, but we think we know better. We think we have a better idea. Let me tell you one other thing about your walk. Your walk isn't just about how you are with God, your own personal relationship with God, but your walk is also your testimony with others. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. Them that are without what? Them that are without God. Them that are without the Word of God. He says you're to walk honestly toward them that are without. So everything that you do, every word that comes out of your mouth, everything about you is going to have an impact on the people that are around you. And God puts people in your lives that He wants you to have an impact on. But He wants you to have a positive impact on them. He wants you to represent Him. He wants people, when they see you, to see Him, because you're walking with Him, and everything that they see out of you reminds them of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shouldn't remind them of themselves. You understand? When they see you, they shouldn't think that you're just like everybody else that they know. You should be different. You should remind them of God. There should be something significantly different about you. But that only happens if you walk with God, if you're in agreement with Him on where you're going to go and how you're going to walk. So that's our leg workout. Now we're going to finish with one last part. And this is very, very important. Because in CrossFit, you work out all your muscle groups. You do your cardio work. But you have to have a core workout that's a part of that. You gotta do core training all the time. All the time. You gotta strengthen that core. So what is that gonna be? For our spiritual CrossFit program, that's having some core principles. Some core principles in your life that absolutely dictate every single thing that you do, that dictate everything that you are. Maddie's, I told you I was gonna reference her cross country team, you know, because it just ties into this so well. Their team, you know, I mean, they're a running team. They run long distances. I don't know why they run long distances. I would never do it unless somebody was paying me large amounts of money. But they do it. They seem to enjoy it for some reason. But when they do these workouts, they go out and they run for, Maddie's shaking her head. She's like, no, we don't really like it that much. We just do it. So they go out and they run 50 minutes. They run 65 minutes. They go, you know, they do these long runs and it's crazy. And when they're done, every single workout, they come in, they do core exercises. Why do they do that? What does that have to do with running? Well, if you have a strong core, it strengthens and helps everything else that you do. When you have a strong core, it helps every other body part that you work out. You can work out better and longer and harder, and you can do more. If you have a weak core, you're not going to be able to get much done with everything else. And it's the same in our spiritual workout that we're talking about here. You have to have some core principles that are going to guide you in everything else that you do. Joshua 24:15, this is a great example. You know, Joshua is addressing Israel, and they're struggling, and a lot of them are, they're, you know, going back and forth between God and the world. And Joshua tells them, he's like, hey, you need to choose who you're going to serve, all right? But then he goes on to say this. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua was somebody with some strong core principles. He told an entire nation, he's like, look, you guys do what you want to do. I don't really care at this point. But I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. In other words, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what decision you make. It's not going to affect me. That's having a strong core. That's having a core that you don't get affected by anybody around you in a negative way. Your best friend says, I'm done with this thing, man. I'm out of here. I don't care about this stuff anymore. Then you say, hey, I love you, and I'm right here if you ever decide to come back, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going with you. I'm right here. That's a core. Daniel had it. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You know, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to give them a daily portion of the king's meat, which represented a daily portion of the world's system, the world's philosophy. And it says that Daniel purposed in his heart, despite the fact that pretty much everybody in his world was doing it. Everybody, all the children of Israel that had gone into captivity, they were eating this stuff and doing what they were the devil was trying to get them to do. And Daniel said, I'm not doing it. It ain't for me. That's a strong core right there. We've got a couple in our family. I'll share them with you. I would hope that if you ask any of my three girls, they would share these with you. One of them is Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. They've probably heard me quote that verse to them more than any other verse in their lives. We hit that thing all the time. We always talk about that. The fact that in our lives, as far as we're concerned, in our family, we are going to live by this principle. That's how we're going to treat each other. That's how we're going to treat others. We're going to go through life as best as we can, and we are going to esteem others better than ourselves. We are not going to look at ourselves first. And I'm not saying this like, oh, look at us. We're so great. That's not the point. But the point is, you have to identify some principles that are absolutely going to define you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that this is where I stand. This is where I draw my line. This is my mark. And I'm standing right here. And this is my base of operation where I'm going to keep working on everything else. But these are absolutely non-negotiable. I'm going to get these in my life if it kills me to do it. Another one is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's a core principle. You get that thing down where you know that you're going to trust in the Lord with all your heart. No matter what comes in your life, no matter what decision you have to make, no matter what challenge that you might face, no matter how hard it might get with your friends at school as they make fun of you, you're going to trust the Lord. And then you're going to let him direct your paths in everything that you do and everywhere that you go. You absolutely have to have some core principles that you're going to work on and live on a daily basis. These are going to be the things that are going to help you build into every other part of your CrossFit training. If you feel weak in one area, you might have one, you know, a time where your arms are feeling a little weak, or your shoulders, or your legs. If you've got a strong core, you can always get those other areas back into shape. You can always get everything else fixed. But if your core is weak and you start to get weak in other areas, you're eventually just going to fold. You're going to go right back into the world. You've got to get some of these things down so they become an anchor point for you. They become where when the rest of the world around you gets topsy-turvy and the devil comes after you, and let me tell you, I promise you, The devil is going to come after you. If you make a decision this week, like a lot of you did last night, to say, I'm not going to go the way of the world anymore. I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to let God use me as a light in my school, with my friends, at my job, with the people that I work with. If you make that decision and you really go after it, the devil is going to try to stop you. If you just go back to school and you just go back into the world and you just go do whatever, the devil's going to leave you alone. He's like, I don't care. He's no threat to me. You know, you're not a threat to his plan if you're not doing anything for God. If you're not actually living for the Lord, if you're not witnessing to people and not really doing anything, the devil will leave you alone. You'll have a nice life until you get to heaven someday and you have to give an account for it. But in the meantime, it'll be fine. But if you decide you want to serve God, he's going to come after you. And when he does, your core is what's going to save you. You've got to have it. You have to be strong in the core principles that you live your life by that are like I said, completely non-negotiable. And it's not to say that there's other principles in the Bible that it's like take them or leave them, but you know what I mean. You've got to have a handful that you're like, this is it. This is how I'm going to define myself. This is the kind of Christian that I am going to be every day to the best of my ability, and then everything else works off of that. Every other body part, every other area in your life that you're going to work on is going to come off of that core area. So that now we have it. Now you guys literally have everything that you're going to need if you really want to become CrossFit. We talked about yesterday about our preparation, and today we talked about our execution. I gave you the five key areas that you need to work on, that you need to, on a daily basis, strengthen and exercise so you can become everything that you need to be for the Lord. And tomorrow, when we come back tomorrow morning, our last morning together, I'm going to give you the last piece of it. I'm going to give you the last part that is going to be absolutely vital to hold everything together, for you to really become everything God wants you to be. So I hope you take the things we talked about this morning, you know, think about these things throughout the day, look into your lives and really spend some time with the Lord, praying and asking, you know, for him to show you the areas where you're a little bit weak, where you need to begin to work on those areas. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're gonna get on out of here, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for our time together in your word this morning. I pray that you'll please watch over us and keep us safe throughout the rest of the day and all the different things that we have going on. And as we come back together tonight for evening chapel service, I pray for Bob. I pray that you'll let him preach the messages you've put on his heart. And we know it's going to be exactly what we need to hear tonight, Lord. And we look forward to that. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.